Good evening and welcome to the Giant Ear Show for December 2008. I am your meta host, Johnny Farrow, from the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. Tonight's program, we're very lucky to have as a special guest the artist China Blue. She has recently completed a project where she did a lot of recording at and of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And she was kind enough to talk to us, to myself and to Andrea Poli, about her project and her work. And we did the interview over the phone with her because there was a massive snowstorm in the Northeast and China was unable to travel down from Rhode Island, where she lives, to be in the studio with us. So we have a very nice interview with her that we'll be playing this evening. But I thought that I would start the show off with a recording I made from earlier in 2008 of a walk that I took in Harlem. And it was during the winter. So you can hear snow happening if there's a sound to snow. And lots of other sort of slushy, wintry sounds. So I'm going to launch that, and then we'll go right into the interview with China Blue. I hope you enjoy. You are listening to the Giant Ear Show on Free 103.9.
down.
Thank you.
looking at, man.
Welcome. This service is provided by FreeConferenceCall.com. Please enter your conference access code, followed by the pound key. This menu will repeat. You entered 6169. If this is correct, press 1. To re-enter your... There are 1. Other callers on the call. At any time, press star 4 for conference instructions. Please announce yourself.
Hi, China.
Hi, China.
Andrea and Johnny, we're both here. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're okay.
I am sorry the weather didn't work out.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
So for this interview, thank you so much for doing it. I'm really excited about it. I was just listening to the CD again. I love it. So you are listening to Giant Ear via the webcast airwaves via the phone lines because it is a blizzard out there, and we're all snowed in. And so we're actually talking to our special guest today, China Blue, via telephone. She's up in Rhode Island, and Johnny Farrow and myself, Andrea Poli, NYSE members, are down here in New York.
Hello.
Doing the broadcast. So, China, thank you so much for talking to us today. And
I'm very excited to be here.
Over the phone lines, anyway.
Yeah.
And I was so thrilled when you agreed to do this interview because I have been a fan of your work for a long time, and I have just been fascinated by your most recent CD, the Under Voices CD that takes seismic recordings of the Eiffel Tower mixed with, I believe, mixed with a bunch of other things. I think it's an amazing work of art, and I'd love to hear more about how you came to create that piece. So what was the process? How did you come up with the concept of doing seismic recordings of the Eiffel Tower?
Well, it's one of those simple and yet exceedingly complex processes. You know, I don't know how it is with you, but I came up with the idea and I thought, oh, you know, it would be really cool to be able to record the Eiffel Tower. And that's where it began.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like one of these, like, random, fascinating, like, wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That began actually probably, let's see, I guess it's already maybe 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Or at least a year and a half ago, I would say. And what sort of inspired it was because in 2005, I was on the top of the Eiffel Tower with my my then boyfriend, and he proposed to me.
Wow!
And so, you know, I have this like very very specific relationship, very romantic relationship to the Eiffel Tower. And it's so funny because I've been to Paris many times, but I'd never been to the top. And on that particular trip, I thought, oh, let's just go and be tourists, you know? Let's do something really different. And so we did.
Totally unsuspecting.
I know.
Was the plan on his part?
I'm sorry?
Was it planned out on his part or was it spontaneous?
No, it was, he had planned it. He had planned it for a number of months.
Wow.
And he had told me later that it was something that he was extremely nervous about, and he's not one to hold a secret at all. He just is, you know, really ready to spew the information any second, but he was able to restrain himself until we got to the top.
Oh, that's so romantic. So then, you know, in a way, you had this really personal relationship with that place, and you wanted to somehow, create a monument or create a kind of memory for everyone about that. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. And it sort of, that was sort of the beginning of the idea of actually recording it, and how people have their own memories in relationship to it and to their own experiences of it. And a lot of times those memories are, you know, they're specific to the people, and they're very, they're ephemeral, like sound is ephemeral. And
record the Eiffel Tower?
Well, it was a complicated process, for sure. One of the things that we had to do is get the authorization to be able to do it, which I thought would be very, very difficult, and it started out to be, but then when I picked them up and called them and talked to them about the project, and they said, sure, why not?
And that's the city of Paris, basically, is...
Actually, it's run by a private institution.
Mm.
So they said, yeah, it's for your art, why not? And that's
right,
the way the
right.
French are about art.
But you didn't just go up there with microphones. It was a whole kind of technical thing, too, that had to happen.
Well,
can I interrupt you guys for 2 seconds? Andrea, you're really breaking up a lot. I don't know if there's anything you can do about that since you're VOIP, but...
I can try... moving closer. I'm also on a wireless phone.
Yeah.
So I can try moving closer. Hang on. Chuck. Is it going to be okay with you if I'm sitting here talking? Is it going to be in your way?
No. I'm going to be going back and forth.
How is this, Johnny? Is this better?
That's a lot better.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
much better. Yeah.
It's the cell phone. It's not... the voice over IP.
Oh,
so
right.
We'll do that, and let me just grab the CD real quick so I can play it over here.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, but it was really, I couldn't even hear your questions.
Oh, yeah, no, that's okay.
It was like listening to you in a blender.
Okay, should we should we redo anything, or?
No, I don't think it's, I think it's fine. Just pick up where you were, I think.
Okay, so we were talking about what it takes technically to do this recording, because this wasn't just a normal take the microphone
it wasn't.
Up there kind of thing.
Right. Well, there was two processes involved, and we had basically two styles of recording equipment that we took with us, and one was the binaural microphones, which are... basically microphones that record the ambient world as you hear it. So it's from the listener's viewpoint that these microphones operate. And we use those in conjunction with digital recorders. So those were pretty straightforward, and they were they were autonomous systems. The other ones that we used were the seismic sensors that are arranged in array form, and that was a custom design system that I was able to put together. And basically, that particular system was designed to pick up the actual vibrations of the structure.
Mm.
Now, the way that was laid out was that there are two connected to pick up the vibrations of two legs of an arch. And basically, the way that it was the way that it operates is that if you were to pick up the vibrations of these two legs, then I would be able to capture the whole full vibration from bottom to top, because they sum up everything from the very top to the very bottom.
So I'm trying to picture the Eiffel Tower. It actually has four legs on the bottom.
It has four legs. One. Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. And this array go on.
The way the array was managed was that one of the two microphones was placed at the base of each arch, so that if you look at an arch, you'll see that how it will be. It's the basic support that supports the complete structure that extends above it. Mm. So on that particular arch is the sum of all the vibrations that occur above it.
So when you were doing this seismic recording, were you going at certain times where there might be more or less activity to kind of get a range, or what sort of time period were you recording?
We actually started recording in the morning. Mm-hmm. We had a limited windows to work in. So we began in the morning, and on that particular day, there was a tremendous amount of wind blowing against the structure. So that really enhanced our capabilities of getting a wide range of the motion in the actual structure.
That's pretty funny. The usually the wind is a problem when you're recording. But
you know,
in
you're right.
case, it was an advantage.
You're right. Yes. We didn't need to have our filters on.
Right. And so it was just a one-day intensive process that you got all the recordings.
Well, I had a team of seven people working with me.
Wow.
And because I had a very small window of time, and I had a large amount of surface to cover, we did these seismic recordings on, I guess it was a total of four different levels. Mm. Not only that particular level, we worked in the sub-basement, and then all the different levels above as you move up the Eiffel Tower. So, you know, we had an enormous amount of surface to cover, so I had a total of a team of seven, and we worked over a period of 2 days.
And are there certain areas that you were able to gain access to that aren't available to the public?
Yeah, that part was so exciting. We had two areas that are not open to the public. One is the sub-basement, which is, they also call it the machine room.
Okay.
And that's where all the equipment is stored, and each leg has one of these at the base of the underneath the Eiffel Tower, and it's an enormous array of equipment. There are things that I had never seen before. I have no idea what they did.
Uh-huh. it must have been really historical too. I imagine that these were things that have been running since the tower was built, or
you know,
really up to date.
I heard that's where they store all the cheese. Mm. It's the sub basement at the tower.
The wine.
Yeah, the wine and the
cheese. The wine.
Did they show
and
you
the
that?
Snail.
Right, and the escargot, right.
Yes.
I'll try not to interject too many things like that.
Well, you know, it was quite exciting because it's sort of as Seth Horowitz, who is the head scientist on the team, was pointing out. He said it's sort of like Oompa Loompa Land. It's just this beautiful, beautiful array of machinery. Some of them ancient that go back to the beginning of the structure of the Eiffel Tower, and some of them are very recently built. And everything is beautifully painted in primary colors. Big, bright red gears and big blue pushing things and massive. There's this big yellow thing called an accumulator, which moves up. I mean, it's like the size of a 10-foot wide, it's probably about 10-foot wide round thing that moves up and down. and it fills up with oil, and then it spits out the oil, and you have this spewing sound. Things are moving horizontally, vertically, in circles. It was just spectacular in terms of the acoustics that we could get as well as the visuals.
And tell me more about a little bit about this team. How did you manage to find these scientists that were willing to do this kind of crazy art project?
Well, I realized early on that it would be important to put together a team to be able to do the recordings, because I couldn't possibly do them all myself, and it would be very helpful to have a group of people working on the project. Seth Horowitz is a neuroscientist from Brown University, and he was the person that was the chief technical officer and advisor on the on all the recording equipment as well as the processes that we put into place. And he also managed the team, and his specialty is dealing with researching how humans hear and process hearing. And he studies that in relationship to bats and frogs as well as humans.
And so he was the person who gave the gave you the feedback about creating this array, or was that yet another scientist that you end up working with?
No, he was the one that sort of pretty much headed advising on the technical aspects, the actual recording devices that would work, as well as the processes.
And what did he think about the process and the final results, and what were some of his reactions to the project?
Well, he thought it was a great idea. Fortunately for me.
Yeah.
No, he thought it was really a great and interesting idea. He came up with this recommendation for the seismic sensor array, which was something that took a little bit of development on my part. It required a fair amount of soldering and aligning of all the cabling, because one of the things I had to anticipate was how much cabling I'd have to take with me to Paris. I took 350 feet of cable. And one of the things I was concerned about was, you know, like how to get that through the airport.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anything that I think is strange?
Well, what I did was, when I packaged everything up, I put an instruction manual about a seismic sensor in next to it. So if they were to open the case and see, you know, this enormous array, 350 feet of cables and sensors and stuff, you know, they look a little bit like something else that would inspire them to open the case.
Right, so, because the seismic sensors themselves are kind of like little metal discs or something. Is that what they basically
They're round and tall, so they're about 3.5 to 4 inches in diameter, and then they're about 4 to 5 inches tall. I use small ones, but they're out of metal, so I would think if, you know, they came through a scan, they would, you know, pop up as, what the hell is this? They come in, I think, brass cases. So there, I had, you know, like 6 of those, and 350 feet of cable, and, you know, backup duct tape, and plastic electrical tape, and pliers.
Wow, they really,
you know, when you're traveling
with
stuff
like that.
It really looked
like you were going to do something.
Well, I didn't want to get to the Eiffel Tower and realize, oh, damn, I need some pliers.
Of course, Now, did... Did those seismic sensors, do they just get recorded onto a normal digital recorder like you were doing with the binaurals, or is that...
I did have to hack them because they're not designed to go onto any kind of recording device directly. Mm-hmm. So I attached jacks to them, and basically I'm working with the Zoom H4 digital recorders.
Okay.
So what I did was actually, because I was using them in series of twos, mm-hmm. I was able to attach to them to the Zoom and then be able to record on two simultaneous tracks. So I was able to mm-hmm. be able to get two sources, have them inherently separated, so that I could be able to listen to the individual recordings, but be able to get the full range of the motion of the wind against the surface as a stereo track.
So you already have these incredible binaural recordings. I'm assuming you were doing the in-ear binaurals.
Yes.
For that, so you're getting these very intense stereo images of, you know, the ambient sound around, and then at the same time you also have the stereo image of the seismic vibration, so it's almost like the tower is, you're almost experiencing what it's like to be the tower if you're listening to this on headphones in a way. You know, would that be maybe part of your,
well,
that is so fascinating.
It's interesting because of the fact that, you know, these are, when you walk through the world, these are sounds that you would normally filter out. Sounds of people talking around you, their random conversations. There we got lots of different languages, children laughing, running from left to right, you know, all the various things that happen in public spaces. But when you record them, you know, you realize, oh my gosh, it's just a rich, rich acoustic environment that you're constantly present in.
Right.
But what also was really fascinating is that you don't hear the actual recording, the actual sounds of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Those are subsonic. The fact that we could record them is points to the fact that they do exist. But because you can't hear it, it's not something that you would normally be attuned to. So what we were able to do was raise it to the volume that a normal ear could hear, so that you would have the actual hidden sounds of the structure in conjunction with the binaural recordings.
Well, the results are just so beautiful, and maybe we can just play this first piece, which is the title track of the CD called Under Voices, and take a little listen.
Thank you.
Well, that was amazing. That's the title track of China Blues, Under Voices. And China, that is so resonant. That's so incredible. Is that purely the seismic vibrations of the tower that you recorded?
Yes,
that we're listening
to?
Oh,
yes, it
is. I'm speechless. I can't even believe it's almost like there's this harmony that's happening between the visual beauty and elegance of that structure and the vibrations that are happening. Is that what you think is going on with that, or?
Well, I thought that it was. Well, I guess you put it more eloquently than I could. It's certainly amazing, you know, when I'm in the depths of the technical aspects, to think about it in that way is certainly a step out of mm-hmm. outside of my little box. But yeah, it was astonishing how much richness and fullness was existent in the wind moving against the structure.
Yeah, and it almost makes you think that somehow, you know, being at that place, that somehow those vibrations are also influencing your experience. You know, even though you can't consciously hear them, you know, it makes you think that maybe that's also a part of the experience somehow on a subliminal level.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, some of the tracks on this are, and I'm not sure if this is the next one, the Crypto Keys track, the second track on the disc, but in some of them I noticed there was more of a mixing going on with mm-hmm. maybe with the seismic sounds and the other sounds. So let's just play the second track and we can talk a little bit about it. So
sure.
This is Crypto Keys.
Thank you.
Now, what are we listening to there? It sounds almost like telephone keys or?
DTMF tones. They're telephone tones. You know, when you dial a telephone, especially on a cell phone, you'll hear different sounds associated with different tones. But what was the focus of this particular piece is that it's about, it's a little bit about the history of the Eiffel Tower as it was used as a communication source and a counter-espionage source.
Really? Tell me a little bit about that. That's really interesting.
Well, yeah, it was one of the little-known aspects of the Eiffel Tower is that Gustave Eiffel made the first radio tower at the very top of the Eiffel Tower, and it was it happens to be the tallest in the world. And so during the war, it was used as a way to infiltrate some of the espionage information that was being passed amongst spies. And some of the recordings that you heard, like the quack, quack, I've forgotten how it all goes, but that particular one is actually a spy message, and from an original spy message.
And that is something you found at the Smithsonian or got from the historical archives,
Yeah. These are shortwave messages that was a way during the war to pass on information. And each one, they're constantly varying. Nobody really knows what how to translate them. Oftentimes, interestingly, women were used as the carriers of this information. So that was used in conjunction with the DTMF tones, which were derived from statistics of the Eiffel Tower. It was another way to embed information into the piece. So I used basic statistics about the Eiffel Tower, for example, how many pieces of iron were used, how many rivets, how tall it is, you know, some basic architectural aspects of it that are known, and converted them into these DTMF tones. And use those as another resource of information.
Oh, that is really fascinating. I wanted to ask you about Eiffel. Now, when the tower was originally built, was Eiffel planning on this to be a radio tower, or was that something that just?
Well, he was a classic scientist in the sense that he was always experimenting and creating new pieces of equipment, and one of the things he created was actually a radio antenna, and he decided to put on the Eiffel Tower and see what he would be able to pick up.
And is it still used for communications transmission? Is there cell phone stuff on the tower now, or is it...
There
no
are
longer.
Cell phone things on the tower, but there are traditional ones that we recognize.
Right.
I don't know if they continue to use the antenna, but it's still considered the tallest in the world. So I would think that there is some value for it.
Oh, that is fascinating. The next piece on this disc, we're listening to China Blue, who's here via telephone with us on Giant Ear, and we're listening to selections from Under Voices, the recordings of the Eiffel Tower, and the next piece is called The Wind and the Accordionist.
Thank you.
that we just heard, the wind and the accordionist, what is happening there? What are we listening to?
Well, the resource material, of course, is the wind against the Eiffel Tower, the recordings, the basic recordings that we were discussing earlier. And I wanted to give it a little bit more of a social environment to give it a sense of presence in Paris. And one of the classical sounds of Paris is the accordion sound, and this actually is some bits and pieces from Edith Piaf, who is, you know, a French icon. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have this kind of juxtaposition. So you have, again, the structural components as well as social components operating, the cultural components actually operating mm-hmm. in conjunction.
And this, I noticed that there are two wind and the accordionist pieces on this CD. The second piece is also the same combination of sounds, or?
Yes, it is. It's mm-hmm. it's a reprieve. So I just put it a little bit later so that there would be a lot more variety.
Right.
In the CD, but it's a continuation of the same combination of sounds operating in a slightly different relationship to each other.
So let's play that. This is track 5 on Under Voices, The Wind and the Accordionist, Reprieve, by China Blue.
Thank you.
So the fourth piece on the CD is called Memory Strains, and let's listen to that piece.
Monsieur, dame, prochain ascenseur au fond, next lift, à la bague, avancez au fond.
Holy Jesus.
Oh my god, this is the outside. Oh my god, oh my god.